Why is it that we never have time to do it right the first time, but we somehow make time to do it twice? The mission at SingleOps is to channel all that information into a simple platform where you can run all of your business from start to finish.
Do you feel you should be further along in your contracting business? Are you tired of not making the money that you know that you're worth? Or maybe you're winning, but you just want to win at a higher level. I'm Tom Reber, and this is the Contractor Fight. Turn this shit up and get ready to earn more respect, earn more money, and be a better leader in your business. Oh, and P.S., this show is not for thin-skinned people. If you offend easily or have a victim mentality, you should probably just move the fuck on right now. Let's go. All right, fighters, today I have the privilege of hanging out with my buddy Sean Adams. Sean has been an entrepreneur his whole life. He was mowing grass and doing all that stuff as a kid. Eventually, he jumped into starting his own landscape and tree service business, spent 10 years growing that and scaling it and ultimately selling that business. He's gone on to help so many other business owners grow and scale their businesses. And most recently, he joined an up-and-coming CRM company called SingleOps, where he's part of that team now, really helping other contractors put in place the systems and the processes that they need using technology. So we talk about a bunch of cool stuff here. And without further ado, here's my buddy, Sean Adams. Sean, what's up, my man?
How's it going, Tom? Thanks for having me.
Hey, glad that you're here. I know we've been trying to make this happen for some time now, and I'm excited to finally do it. So in the intro, I shared a little bit about, you know, your background, you built this old landscaping business, stuff like that. What's something that we might not know about you from the bio, man, that I read in the intro?
Yeah, I would say that one of the things that people assume when you focus maybe a career path around systems and helping others to have some of those light bulbs go off, they assume it was just a natural born like talent that it just woke up one day and knew how to get organized. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And I can certainly jump into a quick story of kind of how that happened. But, you know, Basically, on my end, I happened to stumble into learning how to build systems because I was horrific at it. And I was unbelievably unorganized, and I fell into the typical, you know, craftsman's dilemma or struggle, whatever you want to call it, operational hell, like all of us get stuck in. And I was, kind of running through my whole landscape business. I was out in the field. I was the salesman, the admin, everything in between was way over leveraged. And ultimately, while being out in the field, summertime, wasn't paying attention, dehydrated myself to an extreme level, and actually ended up having to go to the hospital. And this was a ways back in the beginning when we were really small.
Damn.
And I remember sitting, still to this day, it's clear as day to me. And I was sitting that in that hospital bed and they're like, look, everything's fine. You're okay. We got to keep you here for 3 or 4 days and just get your levels back up, get you rehydrated. And while I was so happy to be okay, you know, health-wise, I was panicking about the health of my business because I'm like, there is no way we're going to function if I'm here. And so all the spiraling thoughts came in. And ultimately, Tom, in that 3-4 days, I almost lost the entire business in that short amount of time. Hmm. And I couldn't believe that I was that over leveraged. And it was the light bulb and the kick in the ass that I needed to be like, you know, it was a forcing function. I had to be like, this is ridiculous. I can't even take a weekend off, let alone, you know, take some time for my health. I've got to get my story, you know, my story straight here. And so that's what led me on this quest of, you know, I had a foreman who was kind of helping second hand man. And I just said, I got to document the shit that's in my head. I've got to get it out into paper. I've got to have systems in place. And I just started brain dumping and writing and writing and writing. And I'm sure we'll unpack some of that process. But the idea was I had to explain, because I physically could not be there in the field, how to do and what to do in our business. And it was a huge light bulb moment for me. So I just like people to understand this isn't something you're born with or you're born without. It can be an iterative thing that you learn.
You know, it's funny you said it's not something you're born with and blah, blah, blah. I get people message me all the time and they're like, how can I be as disciplined as you are? and I'm like, you know, I was talking about it with my girlfriend on a walk the other day. I said, people think that I'm super disciplined and I'm not. I'm just kind of a creature of habit. Like, I've just created habits for myself that, you know, and when you create the right habits, and this goes into, you know, running the business, you know, I come from the painting industry, and we had, you know, this is what you do at this step. The phone rings, this is what you do. This is the next thing, and the CRM or whatever it might be, right? You know, you have to create those habits, and then it's just a matter of checking the boxes. And so you and I, before I hit record today, we're talking about how Mondays are my content day. You know, it's my big rock day. That's the habit I've created. So I want to encourage people as well, like, just be committed to the right habits, and you're going to have success in whatever you do. So, I knew a dude. That's funny. I knew a dude who tripled his business, because he broke his back and he was in a hospital bed for months. And in that, like, 18 month, like, he wasn't in a bed 18 months, but in about an 18 month to 2 year period, he tripled the size and profits of his business because he couldn't be out there anymore. So he had to learn to be an amazing communicator and set up processes and stuff that we're going to talk about today.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Just a note I was going to add on that too. You know, when we talked probably a week or two ago, when we were trying to set up this appointment, you'd mentioned to me, you know, you don't consider yourself a very good systems guy, but your outward appearance, everything you do, to me, it reflects that you prioritize extremely well. And so while I said that, like, you don't need to be born with it, it's not so much this, like, the skill, it's almost understanding its priority, its importance, that you need documented processes and systems. So when you're like, I hate doing this, like, it's just not something I enjoy, I understand it's important, I know it needs to be top priority, a big rock for me, but I don't like it, I know that someone else can do it better, then you make it a priority, top of the list for you to find someone to help you with that. And I think that's every bit as important, right? So it's not just like, I'm good at this or I'm not. There are things the owner, especially in the beginning, has to really be the one to pull the levers on and has to set up and kind of orient how they're going to have the 30,000 foot view of their organization. But you're a perfect example of prioritizing well. You know what things need to be done by you, and the other things that are just as important, you just have to have a process in place to do those processes. As weird as that sounds, you found the right people to check the right boxes. And that's part of, I'm sure, what we'll unpack, but just wanted to add that in there because I think you do a great job of that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's, you know, there's two things for me. Number one, I'm like you said, I'm really good at knowing where I need to be spending my time, and I say no to a ton of stuff. And the second thing is I've hired a kick-ass team of people around me. Like, everybody in my company, with the exception of one other person, my video guy, because he's a creative type, right? But everybody else that works for me in my company, they're totally wired with processes, systems. They wake up in the morning and they see the world in flow charts and things like that. And so, I've just said no to a lot of stuff. And then anything I'm not good at, I've just hired out. And that's really hard because I know a lot of guys, they're like, well, when I'm just starting out, how do I do that? Right. I don't have the capital necessarily. And, you know, you and I both know most contractors are, you know, wasting a lot of time and money. They're not selling for profit, on and on and on. And they never can get ahead of the eight ball with the money. So they don't have the money to hire a rock star. But I would actually say that's totally doable if you just, you know your numbers and price your shit right, learn how to sell, and then you'll have more money. Then you can hire people, then you get off the hamster wheel. So it's pretty cool. So this systems thing, man, you gotta, you know, I know you have three key perspectives to this. You want to give us a little bit of that, how to do this?
Yeah, I'd be happy to unpack that a bit. So the three key perspectives are something that I've been kind of noticing through when I built and ultimately sold my company, and then a lot of the consulting and some of the work I do now with landscape tree care businesses and some other contractors, just understanding this sort of these unspoken principles that exist in how we run our business. And so I call them the three key perspectives. I'm sure somebody with a better marketing brain could come up with a better way to phrase this, but it's just how I think about it. They're the three C's, and it's company, client, and crew. That might sound extremely simple, but I think a lot of people misinterpret how to manage this. And so when you're thinking about systems and how things, information flows through your organization, it's touching all three of these legs of the stool, if you will. And so when we talk about company, I mean, you as the business owner, your organization, your enterprise, and what does a company care about, right? Well, by definition, if they're going to be for profit, they better be making some sort of profit at some point. right? They're worried about their costs. They're worried about consistency, sustainability. Is the work that I'm doing, the client that I'm selling, the employee that I'm hiring, are they around for the long haul? Are they built into our culture? You know, what is, where does this fit into me succeeding and scaling this organization? And then we have sort of the other leg of the stool being the client side. Well, our clients, they go into every interaction with a vendor, with their spouse, with a project, anything they're looking to do in their life with their own set of perspectives, and they care about different things, right? And we know this as business owners, yet we act like every time the phone rings, the client's not gonna act the way every other client does. And for some reason we miss things, right? So the clients care about scope of work. They care about the clarity, and probably more importantly, the quality of the work you're gonna perform. And they're looking for that trust layer. Are you someone that they can trust? Mm-hmm. They're caring about, of course, budget, payment terms, you know, peace of mind, easy to work with, all these sort of things that they're looking for. And then we have the third leg being the crew, right? Your foreman, technician, ops manager, whatever you want to plug in there. And they have their own perspective in this mix. So when a job or an opportunity comes into our organization, the crew is thinking about things too, right? We all think, what's in it for me? And we all have this outward, we're running everything through the filter of how it's going to affect ourselves. And our foreman is thinking, all right, Sean, great. Another big project. How far away is it? How detailed is it? Who's on my crew? What equipment do I need? You know, is a client going to be on my butt the whole time? Mm-hmm. If I fill the truck up with debris, where am I putting it? You know, it's an hour drive away, right? They have all their own sort of internal checklist, their internal things they care about. And so we can unpack this here, but basically, you know, when you're writing systems, when you're thinking about this stuff, instead of being reactive and waiting for your client to bring up all these different things, waiting for your crew to bring up what they're going to care about, you know, waiting for you to work after the fact for, you know, company facing metrics and KPIs and all that sort of stuff. Thinking about these three perspectives in everything we do, to me, it's the highest level of thinking about systems, because then we can write things with that end user in mind. We can build processes thinking about what the other person and the other two, you know, individuals outside of ourselves, how they're probably interpreting this language and what their perspective is going to, you know, kind of lead them on to, if that makes any sense.
No, I love this. And I actually want to go right to the, I want to talk about the crew a little bit. Processes there, you know, we don't have time to, you know, unpack every one of these, but I think this is important because of the labor shortage, right? There's so many people that have a hard time finding a team, keeping a team together. And I have a workshop that I do for companies where I go in and we kind of talk about some of the things that are going to make or break your company. And one of those things is eliminating chaos. A lot, most companies have a lot of chaos, and your people, they don't typically leave your company for another one because of money. They leave because of the manager or number of other things. Money's just an excuse a lot of times. And so I want to talk about how to bring some order to the team and the crew, because like you said, what's in it for me? And I had a guy years ago, one of his greatest fears when we started implementing a bunch of KPIs and tracking and owner or team meetings and stuff like that was he was afraid, because of an experience he had in his last company that he worked at, that we were going to overwhelm him with paperwork, you know, and let's call it what it is. Guys in the trades are typically not excited about meetings and paperwork, right? And so, and that's fine. And so we had to step into his shoes. And one of my other business partners now, you know, he has a thing. He's always asking guys, would you want to work for you? Mm. You know, and that has always hit home with me, because there's been a lot of times in my life that I can very quickly say, hell no, would I not want to work for me? So what's some of the low hanging fruit somebody listening to this can put in place so they have some, you know, intentional processes that can build a stronger team? What does that look like from your perspective?
Yeah. One of the simplest ways to do this, Tom, would be to, first of all, look at your phone, your text messages, your phone calls, voicemails, and your emails from your foreman, your technician, whoever's running the work out there in the field. What you're going to find is a series of, I'll say, anywhere from 10 to 20 questions, maybe less than that. And these are the questions that come up every freaking day, every job, every scenario. It's the same thing. And what ultimately happens is your foreman is frustrated because he feels like he can't execute on the work. He or she can't execute on what makes them good at their job because you're not allowing them to have all the resources at their disposal. Right? So just like they need a hammer to execute on this job, they also need to have all the information, right? So we go back to the perspectives. The client wants to know about scope of work. Your crew cares about scope of work even more. They want to see pictures of what you want them to do. They want to see markups of where the plant needs to be installed, which wall you want to, you know, whatever you're doing, you put drywall up, you know, which area you need to do different things on, and then anticipating all those questions, right? So when I would go to propose a job, I would be thinking about the client. What do they want to see? I'd be thinking about the crew too. And typically those things are fairly interwoven. So our crews are thinking, Sean, all right, this is a job that's out there, right? So we don't have any electrical access. Did you order a generator for us? All right, this job's an hour away. If I fill the truck up with debris, are you telling me you want me at $30 an hour to drive back to the shop and drop that off? Or do you want me to find a closer dump site? Put that on the work order, right? Yeah. So I just started taking all these questions that I would get berated with day in, day out, and I would just avoid. I knew they were coming, but I would just put them off and let them blow up reactively. I would just position them proactively and say, okay, I know Eric, my foreman. Here's what he's going to ask. Where's a dump site? You know, what's the plant list? Which supplier do you want me to go with? Which crew do you want me to take? Do they have irrigation on site? You know, what product blend is this? What's the customer's contact information? There's just a simple array of these questions that we hold in our head as if we're some king that cannot release the information unless, you know, someone requests with the secret password. And it's insane, and it creates so much chaos because we store and we hoard information rather than letting our crews have access to that. And you know, in all the work I do with technology, that is it. It's unlocking the information that we hold between clients and our company and not bringing something like the crew into that mix. And so that would be the one really tactical thing. It's just look at those FAQs, frequently asked questions by your foreman, figure out how to answer those questions before they ask. It'll make a huge difference and actually show that you give a shit about your employees yeah. and that you're thinking critically about your work.
Yeah. You know, and this goes right along with that is I want to encourage guys to just take some time to sit down with your team. We did this years ago because I didn't know how to do all this, but we sat down with the guys and I was like, what do you guys need and want to know? You know, sometimes you've got to ask your team, right? Just sit down, shut your damn mouth as the owner, grab a notepad and just go, all right, if I'm handing you guys a job, what do you need to know? And every industry is going to have, like your landscape industry, right? So you want to know where the dump sites are and shit like that. You know, our guys actually said, we want to know what's most important to the customer on the job. Mm. That was one of the things. And it had nothing to do with the actual work, but we always pounded the experience, you know? And that could be anything from, you know, I remember the first job that I wrote something in the notes on the scope about what's most important to the customer. Cause that's, you know, as a sales guy, you go in and you really contract around their pain or pleasure and the motive and all that other stuff, what's really important to them. And then they end up hiring you because they think you're going to provide a better experience. Right. So it's important that that gets communicated because a lot of times my guys felt like they were getting hijacked. Like we didn't get that information. And the first job that I wrote that on, it was the most important thing was, keep the house dust free because her father-in-law or something lived with her and with them and he had emphysema and they were really terrified about that. And the fact that I put that in the notes, my foreman can then communicate that to the team. He took some extra measures to cover and protect and ventilate the house and all his other crap. And it was an amazing experience for the people. Had I not asked that question, what do you guys need to know? Probably that wouldn't have been a very good experience. And that was a big turning point for me is sometimes just ask your people because they're the boots on the ground, man. They're the ones that are out there. I mean, how many times have our guys been in a situation because there wasn't a clear scope of work and all the things that you just talked about, and now the customer's pissed and kind of taking it out on them, you know, because they're like, what the fuck? Don't you guys communicate in your company? So I want to play devil's advocate right now, because there's some contractors that are listening to this dude. And honestly, when you were going through all the things a minute ago, the scope and the conditions and the dump sites and this, and this, and this, and this, you know, where the things are going to be on the plans. And I'm sitting here going, if I'm in the field or I'm sorry, if I'm an owner and this is new to me, I'm looking at that going, Sean, I don't have fucking time to put all that together. I have barely enough time right now to do my sales calls, to run the jobs I'm currently doing, to put out the fires and all this other stuff. What do you tell the guy that's kind of calling bullshit on, there's no way I have the time to spend to put all this shit together?
Tom, my question when people say that is always, why is it that we never have time to do it right the first time, but we somehow make time to do it twice when we miss it the first time?
I love that.
Right? I mean, like, if it's wrong and we're missing something and the foreman ran out of gas or something blew up on the job or we didn't anticipate XYZ, we're dropping everything and we're driving to that job site and we're figuring it out. Right? You make time for that kind of thing. And so it's just like, the shit's going to happen. It's going to come up, right? This isn't a maybe. It's every bit as important as you pricing the work correctly, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to those perspectives and where I found that technology helped us is I hated, because what this comes down to is like entry, right? Double entry. I hated writing on a piece of paper, typing it into a proposal, typing it in an email, then typing it back out in a work order, right? The reason that you don't take that extra effort is there's friction in that process. That information has to keep touching all these multiple points as work progresses through your pipeline, and it's really painful. And so my argument is that information is necessary and use it to your advantage because one, you want to aggregate it for your own knowledge to like sharpen your sales skills, sharpen your operational know-how on a job site. And imagine, Tom, you're walking a property and you get a little Google form. Let's just keep it super simple. Something you can make in 10 minutes. You're on an iPad and you're walking around a property and you're walking Mrs. Jones and you're asking her these 22 questions or five questions. Doesn't matter how many it is. And you're asking critical questions. And when she got three people to come out, nobody asked about any of those other factors. Yep. And they ended up being cheaper than you. She's going to be in the back of her head going, I wonder if that cheaper guy missed something. I wonder if I hire him, if 2 days into the job, he's going to go, you know what? I forgot about having the generator. Mrs. Jones, it's actually $1,000 more than I thought. Right? And so having that information caught on the front end, it helps satisfy these other perspectives because the client's going to go, damn, this guy takes his work seriously. He spent 15 minutes more on the job site, which what is 15, 20 minutes more per job? To make sure you don't have to make two freaking extra trips out to a job site, which used to drive me insane. And now that information is just saved on the job, saved on the proposal, more importantly, saved on the work order. So now the crew goes out there and they're like, well, here is my blueprint, right? Here's all the things that I would typically badger Sean with the second I got to the job site. And 90% of them are answered. And there might be one-off questions. And this isn't like an all or nothing, right? It's an iterative process. And I highly, highly suggest, like you brought up, involve your team in this. Anytime we had a project that was over $10,000, I would make time on our schedule, on my foreman's schedule. He had to help me estimate the job. Had nothing to do with the pricing, had nothing to do with like numbers and costs.
Yep.
Eric, walk this job and tell me what I'm missing. What are you going to do the second I tell you, here's what we're doing on this job? And he would just rattle off. Here's all the things I would need. Here's what I need to know. And it made the world of difference. That way I had this sales process on what quality questions to ask. The client got that great experience of us being detailed. And on the back end, the crew was geared up. They had this job teed off for them in this blueprint and everybody was on the same page.
I love that. I've been banging the drum for years and somebody else taught me this. So I certainly didn't come up with, you know, having a regular company meeting, right? But if you don't have a regular time every week where you're rallying with the leaders in your company, you're missing out. I mean, I've worked with so many people through the years and a minimum of 10% increase in gross profit within about 30 days when people start implementing a regular team meeting and they just get on the same page about projects. Like if you just did that, and made that part of your routine, you would make at least 10% more on each project immediately. I've seen it hundreds of times. All right, fighters, $100,000 a year is not too much to ask. Listen, when our parents were younger, 100 grand was a lot of money. When I was growing up, 100 grand was a lot of money. Today, it's barely enough to get by in America, especially if you're a business owner. You got a lot of responsibilities. Everyone's got a handout, man. You got your subs, your employees, your vendors, your customers, your family, the doctor, your lawyer, the IRS, the state. Everybody wants a piece of the damn action. And quite frankly, the bills are never going to stop. Okay. Sadly, most contractors just think I got to work harder and harder and harder and harder to make more money. Yet you're putting in all this time putting in all this effort and you're wondering, why am I still at 50, 60, 75 grand a year when I'm working my ass off? Listen, that's where I wanted to share with you guys a resource that we have, a kick-ass program called the 100K Contractor. Guys, this program is designed to do just that. It's to get you as a contractor business owner to at least $100,000 a year in personal income. All right. So I want to just share this domain with you guys because listen, at the end of the day, you deserve it. Your family deserves it. It's time we quit stealing from our families. We've got a lot of cool stuff inside the 100K Contractor. So if you go to thecontractorfight.com/100K-contractor, you can see what we got going on. We've got a couple of videos where things get explained and get you guys set up on the right path toward your 100K personal income. You guys rock. So I know we got three legs here. What other one you want to unpack a little, man?
Well, let's talk client, since that's probably, you know, sales wise and what you guys work on, probably the next argument there. So I'll give you some really tactical examples, right? So I'm a homeowner and I've, you know, recently been getting some projects done around the home that I'm tired of trying to tackle myself. So I'm like, oh, it's simple. I'll outsource it. I'll pay somebody. Right. And I've been having all these horrific experiences with contractors, and it's great because it's really good content for me to make things like this on what not to do, but it's not so great as the homeowner who has to take the brunt of all these, you know, terrible business owners. And so one of the things for a really tactical example, if I'm calling three people out to do work on my property, getting a roof done, getting hardscaping done, doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And I get my quotes in and I'm going through the sales process and I'm tweaking in on who I'm going to argue with, or, you know, who I'm going to beat down on price or whatever it's going to be. And one of the questions people are having in their mind, I'll just pick a random one. Let's say it's the trust level, liability. And they're thinking, I wonder if this guy's insured, right? And we all put it on our website, and that's great, and that's a good little marketing bullet. But what if instead of having the customer ask, you know that they're thinking about it, anticipate that need? And what I used to do is I'd have a copy of our certificate of insurance, didn't have anybody additionally insured. It just said, we're with ABC, you know, insurance. We carry $2 million of general liability. And I had the contact information of my insurance agent. And I would just put that in the template of my proposals. It seems like the dumbest thing in the world, but so many contractors I find miss this. And what happens? They submit the proposal, they do a follow-up call, they do a second follow-up call, and Mrs. Jones out of nowhere goes, Sean, I forgot to ask, do you guys have insurance? I'm sure you do, but could you just send me a copy just so I feel, you know, peace of mind? Yep. Yeah, sure, Mrs. Jones, I'll do that. And what happens? You get busy, 2 days go by. Oh, I got to call the insurance agent. You call him, more days go by. Before you know it, 4 or 5, a week's gone by for a stupid piece of paper you know they care about, you know they were going to ask for. And if you just anticipated that and said, I know the client's going to care about that. I want to be a company that puts forth proactive material like how we are not just going to say we're insured, but here's a document that proves so. And every proposal we ever sent out had that included. And it was just one last question that came up, just like the same experience on the crew side. So there's one simple example. I'm sure we could talk through some others as well.
Yeah, I mean, so many things, you know, you end up duplicating your efforts. How many times a year does somebody ask for that document? So why not just have it there? You know, just do it once and be done and it gets sent out. You know, we do a lot of, we used to have, I found the longer I was in business, the longer my contract got. You know, because situations and problems and things like that. But I guarantee nobody's listening to this going, oh, I've never heard of the fact that I have to have systems. And I doubt anyone here has to be sold on. You've got to have intentional processes and systems in your business. I mean, everyone agrees with that. How do you do it? You know, what, for those of us that are non-systems people, what is the first couple steps of going, all right, I need a system to communicate better with my team or my customers or whatever it is, whatever the system might be, pick one. And just maybe give us the first couple steps.
Yeah. Great question. And it's something that there's not enough information out there on. It's very overwhelming when you're like, all right, I've got these, you know, four key areas of my business. How am I going to organize all this stuff? It's very overwhelming. So I tell people, you know, it's like a little bonfire. We have to start small and just slowly add volume to it, right? So take simple processes in your business. I know you guys, the Shin Fu method, I'll lightly point towards that as a process, right? So what I would do is I pick a process, something that happens in my business, right? So a lot of us have operational processes, but we just don't know because we don't define them and they just kind of happen despite us. And so what I would say is take the process, okay, when a phone call comes in to when I actually provide a proposal, right? There's probably a couple processes within that, but let's just say the process of call comes in to actually booking the appointment, right? And we don't have to go deep into the Shin Fu method, but the idea here is start really high level, and I call it just brain dumping. Get on a sheet of paper, get on a Google Doc, get on a Word doc, an email, it doesn't matter what it is, and just start writing out what happens right now. When Mrs. Jones says, I'm interested in getting this tree taken down, tell me what that process looks like. Do you say, Mrs. Jones, that sounds great. Where are you located? Okay, I'll get back to you. I'll let you know when I can get there. Well, okay, that needs some iterations. Well, what would be ideal next, right? So first step, identify what it looks like now. Second step, what would be ideal? What would be even better that you would like to get to but haven't figured out how to get to yet? Well, I'd really like someone else to be answering that phone, right? Probably. And I'd love them to like pre-qualify that call. And here's the type of things that I care about when I go to give an estimate. You know, where are they located? What are they interested in? What's their budget? What's their timeline? You know, have they quoted other contractors? You know, have they really thought about this, or is this just some random thing? They were home on a Saturday and wanted to know how much this cost, right? So here's the questions that I would ask about that. And that's the information I want to know. And then what is the end result? So where we are currently, what's the ideal? And then what is the outcome of that process? So I really want to be able to give an accurate quote that I can charge for a consultation for. Maybe that's your end result, what you're trying to get to. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that end in mind, you can work backwards and go, okay, well, what language would I have to use during that pre-qualification call, or better yet, someone else to use to help me get from, I'll get back to you and I'll come out and take a look, to Mrs. Jones, it's going to be $100 and she gives you your credit card, right? Well, obviously you can look up resources for the gaps that you don't have, but just documenting how it works right now, recognizing what the delta is between here's how terrible my process is now, here's where I'd like to go. Is there someone else who's already defined that process? So in a case like the contractor fight, which you guys do with Shin Fu, you literally can pick that thing up off the shelf and plug it in. Your system, it's even called Bridge for you know, for God's sake, right? It bridges the gap between where you are and where you need to go. And so if you can't find a resource for that, besides, you know, researching them and all that kind of stuff, start to think about how you may, you know, assign those different things. And I like to just go step by step by step, as if I was explaining it to an 18-year-old on his first day of work in his first job, and how I would not assume a single thing in that process. And I would just go numbers 1 through 30. Here's exactly step by step what I want you to do. And when you get to this step, blah, 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 blah. And besides taking the assumptions out of the mix, the last thing I would mention is constantly ask yourself this sentence: if this, then that, right? So that I've got my process aligned. I've got where I am now. I've got where I'd like to be, or what would be ideal, and where I want this to be, the end result, desired outcome. And then as I'm going through, you're going to find that there's going to be all these options and scenarios. So if you just ask yourself, if this, then that. If Mrs. Jones asks for fence insulation and we don't do that, then you're going to refer John because he's our subcontractor. If Mrs. Jones asks for a hardscape installation, the next thing you're going to ask is, you know, what blend does she look like? Is there a slope on the property? Can you send me pictures, XYZ, right? So just thinking with that if this, then that usually helps you to kind of flush out the crap that's stored up in your head and organize it out so that ultimately you can start to bring somebody else in and they can understand the, you know, the ball of yarn that's up in most people's heads.
Speaking of great tools and things like that to help you implement these things, why don't you talk a little bit about what you got going on, man? Because, you know, you guys over at Single Ops, it appears you got something pretty cool going on for the landscape industry. And I'd love for you to just take a couple of minutes and share about that and how it can help guys in that industry.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate that. Yeah. So Single Ops is, it's a field management CRM. We're, you know, heavily focused on tree and landscape companies. And it's really about a lot of the things we covered here today. You know, those three key perspectives and the processes that already exist in our business are typically done with a whole bunch of duct tape and tie wraps and Excel and paper and you know, text messages and emails and all that kind of stuff. And then this fragmentation of this information makes your business so damn chaotic. And so, you know, the mission at SingleOps is to just, as the name suggests, single, you know, all of, channel all that information into a simple platform where you can run all of your business from start to finish. So it allows you to kind of build those processes and have this visibility into your organization and say, here's my client list. Here's the requests that have come in. Here's the proposals that are outstanding. Here's the work that's been accepted by my customers. Here's the work order that was generated specifically off of that proposal that I took out in the field. And then the crew gets all that execution and they can report back on it and they can improve that. And then it can ultimately, you know, create invoices off of that too. So that whole life cycle of everything that we're covering here, you know, it allows you to get this pulse that is next to impossible to do when you've got a little bit of it here, a little bit of it there, and your foreman holds some information and the rest is on a sticky note on your dashboard. And, you know, it's just very, very hard to make unemotional decisions and improvements in our business without having some sort of level of visibility into where everything is and that everyone has access to that same information.
Yeah. And this is, you know, this is just like, you know, on the job site, we need a shovel or we need a hammer or a paintbrush or whatever. You got to have the right tool here to help you grow your business. I talk a lot about, I think companies make a big mistake by trying to scale too fast. I don't want to get crazy into that here today. You know, I'm not a fan of scaling something that's not as profitable as it can be and stuff like that. So I'll save that for another time. But for those companies that are ready to scale, they're ready to grow, you have to have something like this in place because everything can't run through you. You know, there's too much damn information. And you know, one of the things that's super unique about the trades is everything changes hour to hour out there, you know, and you know, we got Mother Nature to deal with. We got customers, we got crews, we're all human beings and we have the, you know, everything from site conditions to problems that somebody might have with their health or whatever it is. And to remember and keep all this together, you cannot grow and scale your business if you don't have a good tool like this. So what are some of the, your favorite, I guess, features that you have in SingleOps that you think, like brag a little here, what do you do better than some of the other companies?
Yeah, I would say configurability is one thing that comes to mind. So, you know, you have people like myself who are part of this organization who have actually been on the front lines doing what you're doing, have been on the other side of that phone call, and they know what it's like to try to think about dump sites and where to park the truck and, you know, site conditions and quality of the soil and tree species and all these weird things that when you say that to someone out of the industry, they kind of scratch their head at, right? So the idea here with our system is to make it configurable for your needs. And so when we're going to give an estimate, we want to capture that dump site and the lead source and Mrs. Jones' dog's name and the gate code. And we also want to have like a really organized way to consistently price our work. And SingleOps does a really great job of allowing you to organize all that out in a simple format, an interface that allows you to do this from the field. So we can capture that information really simply. Mm-hmm. And the next piece of that, the biggest bottleneck in most every business, which we touched on here today, is that handoff from, yes, we closed the sale to, oh shit, we've got to actually execute and put this job together. And yeah, that handoff in our system is done extremely well. It basically, there's a document that pulls all that information right from what was on the proposal into a digital, and you can print it as well, but a digital PDF as well as some other forms that has everything that the field needs to know. You can leave the pricing off there so they don't even see and get confused by man hour pricing and anything like that if you're doing that. And it just gives them their perspective. The shit that they care about, right, is right in front of them. So the client gets what they need on the proposal, the company gets the metrics on what they need and care about, and the crew gets everything at their fingertips that they're looking for as well. And so I think it checks the boxes on that, those three key perspectives extremely well.
Well, that's good shit, man. So Sean, if somebody wants to get in touch with you and check this out, we'll put all the links in the show notes and stuff, but what's the easiest way they can go about doing that?
Yeah, I'm really active on social media, LinkedIn in particular. I have a Facebook page and a couple Facebook groups. You can find me Sean, S-E-A-N, Adams. LinkedIn's a great place. My email address, I'm sure Tom will put a link to that as well. My calendar link will be in here as well. It's great if you're just remotely interested in how technology can help and you're tired of pulling your hair out with information all over the place, just book a call. We'll talk. I'll let you know if it's a good fit or not. I do pre-qualification, try to practice what I preach here, right? So we'll talk through what you got going on and see if it makes sense to try to help you further.
Well, that's good stuff, man. Yeah, we'll get all those show notes in there and stuff. And so, Sean, I guess to wrap up here today, what's one thing you'd like to leave people with that'll help them be a little bit stronger today in their business if they implement it?
Yeah, I would say that systems. What's the biggest, you know, phone call, frequently asked question you keep getting asked? That's the first system you should work on. Think of it like dominoes. What's that first domino that's going to help knock over future ones, right? Whatever that process is that's driving you crazy, start a document right now. Start it on a legal pad. Start writing down what you do now, where and how you'd like it to look, and then what the end result is of that process. Start thinking like that as you break down how business functions in your company. And I promise you, you'll have the light bulbs go off. You couple that with great resources like what the Contractor Fight's doing, and you can skip past these speed bumps that are inevitably in business. It can really help you grow or just, if anything else, make your life a lot easier.
I love it, man. That's good shit. So, dude, I appreciate you being here with us today. We'll get the links in here. Guys, this is a guy who knows what he's talking about. That's why he's here today. He's, you know, like I said, built and sold his own business, been super successful helping others. And I know systems and processes are such a big issue, and you guys need the right mindset and the right tool, which is why I had him on here. So, Sean, I appreciate your time today, man. And with that, Travis, bring in the guitars, and we will talk to you guys next time on The Fight.
Want some fight swag to wear? Simply share this episode of The Contractor Fight anywhere on Facebook or Instagram using the hashtag #JoinTheFight, and our team will pick one winner each week to recognize your help in spreading the fight message.